Morning, everyone, and once again, happy Mother's Day to all our women. Thank you for all you do for families, your friends, our friends, church, community, and we pray always that God blesses you. So for those who don't know me, my name is NG Anya, married to Yudi, and we have two fast-growing girls. Shall we pray, and then we can start? Father, thank you for this morning. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know that there is a possibility that there are those who are listening this morning who are at different stages of their journey with God, or whether it exists or doesn't. So I just wanted to say that the things that we speak are things that we do believe they did happen and they existed. God's word is powerful and active, and not because I'm standing here or because of anybody else who has ever stood here, but because on its own, the word of the Lord is powerful and active. So we will read it this morning. To reasonably lengthy portions. It will not take time, but whatever time is left, I will then use that to share what I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Is that okay? So the title of today's message is God's Approach as a Parent. It's got a subtitle, which may appear unconnected, but hopefully all will become clear towards the end. And the subtitle is, What Are They Among So Many? Title, God's Approach as a Parent. Subtitle, What Are They Among So Many? There are so many approaches that we could consider this morning when we were talking about God, but we'll look at four. So I will just start by reading the scripture first. And I'd encourage you, go old school, if you've got your Bibles, please do open them, turn them on, have a look. If you haven't, I will read it. If technology allows us, we'll see the words on the screen. If it doesn't, that's okay, I will read it. So we're reading from John 6, 1 to 14. If you're new to church, John is in your New Testament, sort of later part of the Bible. And it's a story. So after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, looks like he looked up, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he turned to Philip and said, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men who, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. I'll read the second scripture and then we will go. And it's in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 6. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament, so the first part of your Bible. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the cloud will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Thank God. So those are the two scriptures, and I'll just delve straight into what we have today. So the story we read in the book of John, actually you can find it in the four Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We will stay with John's account today. But then I will refer to parts of the story that aren't in John's account, but I'll sort of say in Mark's or Matthew's, so just so you know, and you don't think I've made anything up. Not that you would anyway, but just so you know, I haven't made it up. So God's approach as a parent, four things that we will pick up. The first one that I'd like to mention this morning is compassion. Compassion. In Matthew's account, he says that Jesus was moved with compassion and healed them, this multitude. Mark says Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. So imagine this. There is a multitude, actually says great multitude, so 5,000 plus all the women and children, so I don't know times how many people in this room, coming towards Jesus. He looked up, and the first thing he said was not, oh dear, why are these people coming to me? What he said was, Philip, not you, Pastor Phil, where shall we buy bread to feed these people? Not even where shall we get a spiritual something? How should we pray for them? How do we give them physical nourishment for them? Food. And that is God. Food was his first thinking that he was asking for. The Bible says he was compassionate. He healed the sick. So anybody who had a disease and unease, what he did was to remove that unease from them. Then he taught them, because he looked and said, they look like sheep without shepherd. I'm going to teach them many things about the kingdom. He refused to send them away because the disciples said, hey, 12 of us plus you 13, 5,000 plus, come in. You've been teaching them. Can we please ask them to go somewhere else? Can we send them away? And he says, no, I don't want to send them away. You feed them. So his heart of compassion is how he approaches or has approached things. And even today, and I will come to the application later, but even today, how do we feed them? He cares whether you've got food on your table, in your tummy, whether there's a disease, whether there's a sickness, a problem, the information that we require. So God's approach as a parent is one of compassion. Not one of standing above and just saying, well, yeah, you do what you want. And note that the disciple says, send them so that they can go and provide for themselves. You know, it's not our problem. Let them sort it out. We didn't ask them to come here. You sort it. And Jesus is like, no, you feed them. The second thing is, and I'll move on, I'll come back to it. Have you noticed that God has an approach of giving assignments? He likes to send people on things. He likes to send you on things, on missions. And he's the one who decides where he sends people, how and what. If you've been in church for a while, you would know this popular scripture, go into the world and preach the gospel. So that is something that is for all of us. But to his disciples at this particular moment, he gave them the assignment of feeding this great multitude. I'd like us to note that when God gives assignments, it normally appears as though he hasn't quite considered your convenience or your limitations. He hasn't. He doesn't. Think about anybody in the scripture. He doesn't say, now is a convenient time. Now I shall then tell you to do this. Oh, I see you're able. No, not your limitations, not your convenience at all. So for example, disciples, 12 of them versus 5,000 people, minus children. And the math teacher, is he here? Can we do this math? 5,000 divided by 12, if we were to split them. 416.6 men. Now, because I don't know what 0.6 of a man is, I'm going to say they were assigned to, just logically, 416 to 417 people each to feed. You're somewhere, God says, Wendy, feed 416 people. You're up on a mountain. What has the Lord asked you to do? You, no, not your neighbor, no, not the person sitting by you, not your spouse, not the child, you know, not you in particular. Just know that whatever he's nudging you, your convenience is not factored in, or what you perceive as your limitations or our limitations. For example, he says, go out into the world. You know, you may be shy, not feeling confident, not feeling that you may know all the relevant scriptures, maybe really scared about feeling embarrassed or stuff like that. But that is his approach to his children. He's compassionate, but he sends us on messages. He sends us on errands. There is an approach of his being our sufficiency. Our own contribution is the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. My emphasis is on small fishes, small, small. In fact, if we continue this math thing, okay, five loaves divided by 12 is like 0.40. You can tell I've used a calculator. Because I had to sort of calculate this thing logically, you know, how we think, how I think about it. Logically, I've got 5 loaves. You're asking me to feed this multitude. And I won't even bother dividing it by 5,000 people. But God's approach, he will send us, but he just wants the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. He will do the rest. He will sort the rest. He has the job of feeding the 5,000. So if we think about the Ecclesiastes 11:1-6, remember that place that says, he who observes the wind will not sow. So if we're still waiting for the time when the thing we're being nudged to do makes sense, we will be there forever. Because it wouldn't make sense. If he knew you had enough, you know, you may not have enough money for what he's asking you to do. You may not feel like you've got enough strength or whatever resources, but there's a nudge because there's an assignment. And I want to say that, my view, faith and comfort zone do not necessarily merge because you've got to step out. So he's our sufficiency. And expect him to provide everything that is needed. The fourth one, and the final one before I circle back, is one of generosity, God's approach to us as his children. Has anybody ever wondered why God, ever wondered, because I have, made more planets than is needed. Sorry, sometimes I have these random thoughts. I'm like, you know all these planets did? I'm like, we have the Earth. What do these things do except, I don't know, please forgive me if you do know the answer, except give clever people a chance to study them and tell us and send rockets and Phil's friend sends rockets to the moon, you know, all of that stuff. Why do we have as many plants of different colors and shapes and sizes and things? Even last year, they discovered new species of animals. Still, I mean, Google it. Don't Google it now, but Google it later. And you would see tons. Why do we need all of them? But he's a generous God. Like, he does things in a generous way. So notice that when they fed them, everybody was filled. So it is important. It is okay for you to eat and be satisfied. It is not contrary to faith or spirituality. It's okay to eat and say, I'm full. I'm no longer hungry. I'm no longer thirsty. I'm satisfied. But what he also did was he gave them more than they needed. 12 baskets full. And he doesn't only give us bread for eating, he gives seed for sowing so that more bread can come. That's God's approach. So what then? I've just mentioned four, in my view, simple things. Talked about God's approach of compassion towards us. His approach of sending us on an errand, on a message, on an assignment, on a mission. Of being our sufficiency and of generosity. But so what then? So what? What is it we're being expected to apply here? And I think for some of us, we may need to respond to one or more or all of them. You may be weary or tired. You may not be. Burdened, sad, feeling overwhelmed or lost. Feeling battered, feeling lost, needing a sense of direction. And this is irrespective of whether you're young or older or somewhere in the middle. Irrespective of whether you've been a Christian for a very long time or new to faith. These things come to us. There are weeks that way. But what God does is, or if we let him, is to gather us in his arms and say, it's okay. I will feed you. I look on you with compassion. And sometimes we're not always very kind to ourselves, you know. I did this a few weeks ago because, and I think I speak about this quite often. If anybody ever takes notice of the chatter that goes on in your mind, I don't know if it's just me, there is a chatter. If you just sort of calm and listen, you may think you're quiet, but your mind is speaking regularly. And it's good to capture what is it saying to you. Sometimes you may find it's telling you you're not enough. You're too tired. Can't do this. You tried it last time. You're failing. You failed a lot. Chatter, chatter, chatter. And sometimes it's okay to just catch that stuff and push it in the direction of the Word of God. So God is compassionate towards you, towards me right now. And our own thing is to open up to that, to receive that from him. Because it's so busy, being able to just be still, like do this sometimes. Netflix is okay, please no condemnation, I watch stuff. But sometimes, just take half an hour, just because. No agenda. No nothing, no planning, no nothing. Just sit in quiet and just see if we can seek the Lord and whether his compassion will not wrap us round and comfort and say it's okay. Open up to him. On the assignment bit, I've already said it. If you're waiting for convenience, you'll be waiting a long time. If you're waiting for convenience, I would suggest that we're not working in obedience. I'm speaking to myself as well. If the Lord is nudging you to do something, and we're waiting for when it's convenient, when we're not too tired, when we're more joyful, when we're a bit more wiser, when we've got more money, no, we would want to move now and forget the past, so we may not have done it, that's okay, but can we move, because we are his hands and feet here, and he's the one who sends us. And so your bit, when we do our own bit, it works for everybody's benefit. I know we might seem like, you know, one person, a little cog in a wheel, but when we do our own bit that the Lord has sent us, it makes the church better, and it makes the society better as well. And so what I'm asking is that we deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow. Deny. It's not a message of convenience. I'm speaking to myself as well, so forgive me. Deny. Take up the cross and follow. And I know that flies in the face of messages of convenience and comfort and self-care. And yes, look after it, please. Let's look after ourselves. But let's do what the Lord is asking. Sufficiency. And the thing is, if we're relying solely on ourselves, then the Lord is asking us to let him. What's in your hand? Where is your five loaves, two fishes? Do it afraid. And I may be speaking to somebody. Do it afraid. Do it scared. Do it. Whatever it is he's asking you, do it anyway. He's your father. He's my father. He is our sufficiency. Start where you are, with who you are, with what you've got. Somebody said, have you ever noticed that when God sends people in the Bible, he spends half the time trying to convince them? Gideon, go and, oh, I'm not. Moses, go, oh, I'm not. And it's us humans, isn't it? The Father says, do this one thing, and we begin to look for stuff. But he's our sufficiency. So what we're saying is, don't wait until we have more time, more sleep, more money, more wisdom, more skill, more joy. If you're feeling overwhelmed, perhaps, and this might be a word for someone, perhaps what we need to do is to, first of all, sit down. Sit, just sit, and split that your multitude into chunks. Chunks of 50, countable chunks. Whatever it is you're wanting to do, just split it, and that might be the first thing. Generosity, I'd encourage us to expand our prayers. I've heard this, you know, when we say stuff like, I'm sorry to ask anything for myself. The Lord God Almighty, who put, give us today our daily bread, in his prayer, expects that there are times that would have to ask for personal things. And I'll suggest, if that sort of rouse something in our hearts, just open the scripture. Let's find where the Bible is saying, you dare not. And I'm not suggesting we go, you know, be selfish, no. But if there is something bothering us, if there's something we need, the Father is asking, come to him, knowing he's a generous God. Expand your prayer. Let us not, I'll put it this way, Don't say God's no for him. Don't let anybody else say God's no for him. Let him say, no daughter, no son, not now, no really. But don't ask it. He's a generous God. Sometimes warped sense of humility. Sometimes we need to move it away. so that we can pray prayers for people that doesn't depend on an idea that God is limited or stingy or wrong, you know, like, you know, you've got to ask him a little bit, because if you ask him too much, he might be annoyed. But he's not that way. Look at when he said to Moses, "Oh, tell the people, everybody will be having some meat. Everybody." And Moses said, "If we killed all the animals," he said, "is my hand too short? You just wait." When he gave them manna, he gave more than needed. So can I encourage us, expand that prayer. Expand the prayer. Ask for big things, not for yourself. I'm not asking you to ask for a big car. But when we pray for the kingdom to come, or even for stuff, let the Father say, let him answer the prayer in the way that he wants to. Let's not say the no for him. So when we think, and I'm bringing it to a close, the Lord is not stingy. He's a generous God. He's a generous God. More generous than we can imagine. Like, overwhelmingly generous. So, if I just sort of quickly just go back, and I know we know, compassion. He loves you. He loves me. He's generous towards us. He sent you to do something. And he is your sufficiency and my sufficiency. He is our Father. And that's the approach that we've picked out from that scripture that we read. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for your goodness and kindness towards us. Thank you for the assignment you send us on. Please help us to always remember that you are our sufficiency. Help us to open our hearts to your compassion. And thank you. And may we also extend generosity and compassion to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I ask the worship? Oh, perfect. They're here behind me, as though by magic. Thank you, Isaac.